Seniors these days face a number of challenging financial issues, from healthcare to housing and more. Hi, I'm Rob West. Rising healthcare premiums, property taxes, and insurance, along with shrinking Social Security COLAs, may limit the things seniors would like to do in their golden years. Harlan Akala joins us today with a way to increase their options. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance Live, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's great to have our friend Harlan Akala back on the program today. Harlan is with Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. He's also our go-to guy for information on reverse mortgages. He's literally written the book on the topic. It's called Home Equity and Reverse Mortgages, The Cinderella of the Baby Boomer Retirement. And let me just say right off the top, we will be taking your calls and questions today, at least in this portion of the broadcast, on reverse mortgages. So if you've had a question on this topic, something you've been wrestling with, wanting to know if this is a tool that you should perhaps consider, feel free to give us a call. We'll be getting to those questions in just a bit, 800-525-7000. Let me also say that you hear me talk a lot on this program about getting out of debt and staying there, and I love that idea. You know, we talk in terms of planning for retirement about syncing up the payoff of your home to your retirement day to take that off the table, be unencumbered and free and clear. And I like that idea. But I think the big idea here today is that reverse mortgages have been given a bad rap. We'll talk about why in a moment with Harlan. But the idea is that they're a planning tool, and that because this is a unique type of debt that doesn't have personal recourse, meaning the only thing that will satisfy the loan, as far as you're concerned, is your home. You can never owe more than what your home will satisfy. Even if your home decreases in value, you don't personally owe this money, and you'll never have a payment. And therefore, it's a different type of debt that can be considered in a variety of ways during this season, especially if you're ill-prepared and haven't saved enough, but you're sitting on a lot of home equity. So let's get into that. And Harlan, I know that you have some really interesting information about reverse mortgages that we're going to talk about. But I first want to talk about this PR problem that reverse mortgages have that I think are undeserved. Explain that.
Yes. Well, before 1988, it was the Wild West, and there was a lot of people that used something called shared equity loans as a way to basically kind of steal seniors' houses. And it was not something that should be done, and it's not something that Movement has ever done in our business, because quite frankly, people don't really want to give up the house that they've worked to own for their entire life. And so that really started things off before the reverse mortgage HECM, home equity conversion mortgage, during the Reagan years started in 1988. So it was done so things could be reformed. Well, then what happened even after that is there's some bad actors that still took advantage of people and didn't do things right. And probably the biggest single problem was that, and there were lawsuits over this that even FHA was involved in, is when older husbands who had younger wives took out reverse mortgages and took their wives off from title. And there were a number of widows that after their older husband died, lost their homes and were kicked out of their home literally after their husband died. That was awful in the way that that was done. It really wasn't the fault of the reverse mortgage. It was the fault of planning. It was a fault of the husband's making the wrong decision and not caring enough to look forward to what would happen after he passed. And now the new rules have come out in that and said, no, you can't. If you have a younger wife or a younger husband, whoever's older, you are not allowed to do the loan without making sure that your wife or husband is protected. But there's still stories out there, and those things are continually told about. In one of our last segments, we talked about widows. And yeah, we've saved and helped far more widows than we've hurt.
Yeah.
But that's something that we certainly have to be aware of.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I appreciate you clearing that up. Well, when we come back today, we're going to dive into this specifically related to how reverse mortgages can help seniors keep their Medicare premiums low. We'll talk about how it relates to long-term care, which can, of course, be a massive expense during this season of life. And for those in parts of the country where property taxes and insurance are going through the roof, how can this be a helpful tool there? Plus, of course, your questions today, specifically on reverse mortgages for Harlan, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. A quick break and back with much more just around the corner. Stick around. So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance Live, where we see God as our ultimate treasure. Money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. So delighted that you're along with us today. We're talking today about reverse mortgages, perhaps a misunderstood planning tool for this season of life. If you're sitting on home equity and for a variety of reasons, you want to tap into it, making it non-recourse debt, but perhaps provided needed income or even a line of credit during this season of life that would be ultimately satisfied by a home sale, either when you move or at your death. We're taking questions today on this topic of reverse mortgages at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, anybody calling today on reverse mortgages, we'll send you a copy of our guest Harlan Akala's book today our thank you for being on the program. It's called Home Equity and Reverse Mortgages, The Cinderella of the Baby Boomer Retirement. Call right now at 800-525-7000. Let's go to North Carolina. Hi, Michael. How can we help?
Hi. Just wondered, if you get a reverse mortgage, can you then rent out that house and buy another house to live in?
Yeah. Harlan?
Yeah, you can't. Currently, reverse mortgages are only available for the primary residence. And so if somebody has a second home, they can pull money out of their primary residence and use that money to buy a second home. But you cannot do a reverse mortgage on a property that you do not own or occupy.
That's a great question, Michael. We appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000. We'll be headed back to the phones for your questions here in just a moment. Harlan, let's talk about one of those expenses that catches a lot of seniors by surprise, and that has to do with Medicare premiums that actually go up because you have earned income, and that drives something called an IRMA. Explain how a reverse mortgage can help here.
Yeah, I think two of the most misunderstood things in a retirement is the problem that people don't understand provisional income on Social Security, and certainly not how, in many cases, their Medicare premiums are calculated. The higher your income, the more you're going to pay in Medicare premiums, and that income includes money being pulled out in an IRA. So a lot of people say, well, now I'm in Social Security, I'm in fixed income, and I pull out this extra money in the IRA, which drives them up into another bracket, and they end up sometimes paying hundreds of dollars more over a period of a year on the cost of the Medicare premiums. All the money coming out of a reverse mortgage is tax-free and thus does not get reported as income and will not affect Medicare premiums and will not affect any kind of income because nothing goes on page one. You occasionally get deductions on page two, depending upon what you do with the interest, but never does any income come from a reverse mortgage because it's borrowed money by definition. It's not a special exclusion. And so any kind of planning to make sure that you're not paying too much, either in taxes or in Medicare premiums, is a very prudent and smart thing to make sure that you're careful about that.
Yeah, very interesting and perhaps something that's often overlooked. Again, we'll be headed back to the phones here in just a moment. Questions on reverse mortgages specifically today, 800-525-7000 while Harlan Akala is with us. What about long-term care? Obviously something that can be very costly in this season of life. How might folks think about the potential of a reverse mortgage as a planning tool, specifically as it relates to long-term care?
Rob, thanks for bringing that up. There's probably no larger threat financially to any household, any family, than long-term care. It's incredibly expensive. It's typically not covered by any type of insurance. Long-term care insurance is only owned by about 5% of the population, and many have let it lapse because it's very expensive, and they maybe couldn't afford it in retirement. And so there's just not that many people that are insured. And a lot of people think that it's insured by Medicare. And it's not. Only Medicaid will pay for long-term care, and that's only if you're broke and have nothing else. And so it's a big worry and can blow up any financial plan and can take away almost everything at the end from a family. And I'm very well personally aware of this because my father had a stroke, unfortunately, and my mom had Alzheimer's before they passed and had 2 or 3 years each of long-term care. Fortunately, we used the reverse mortgage to pay for some of their care and keep them at home so they did not have to go to a facility, which just about anybody that I've ever talked to does not want to go to a nursing home if they can avoid it. And so it's something pretty personal to me and something that I want to make sure that everybody is aware of, that it's something to plan for. And fortunately, many people don't plan for it, even though there's money right there in their house to be able to help them. We call it using your home to stay at home.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Very good. All right, to Chicago. Hi, Larry. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. Well, I've listened to your show all the time. It's great, and I'm third-time caller. I happen to have an idea about my a potential reverse mortgage, and that is I would like to find out if it's possible to use it in much like you would use a home equity line of credit, in that you apply for it, you get approved for it, but nothing happens until you actually take it. Am I forced to take it right away? Because, you know, with a home equity line of credit, you can take it when you need it. The downside to that is you're stuck with fluctuating interest rates and could get it pretty high, whereas with a reverse mortgage, my understanding, it's a fixed rate. Is there anything out there like that?
Yeah, Larry, Harlan's throwing you a softball right down the center of the plate here. Go ahead.
Well, the biggest concern that I have, in fact, at Movement, we very, very rarely give anyone over 62 a regular line of credit. Quite frankly, they're dangerous because you're required to pay it back. Interest rates can skyrocket. I just talked to a lady that her payment went from $1,000 a month to $2,500 in the last couple of years. So we never recommend that people in our stage of life, I'm 64, I would not do a regular line of credit. I have a reverse mortgage line of credit because I know the dangers that we've seen many times over. Lines of credit, traditional ones, can be canceled. They can be called. The full amount can be asked to be paid back, even if it might be a very bad time to do it. And any kind of real estate conditions can cause that to go away. So we never recommend to do that, but a reverse mortgage allows you to always have a zero payment no matter what happens. Always you have the access to the money, even if the value of your house goes down, even if you get sick, even if some spouse dies or something else goes wrong. And so the importance of being able to have that available is critical. And the main thing is you never have to pull any money out until you need it. And quite frankly, the best time to borrow money is when you don't need it. The best time to buy an umbrella is when it's not raining. And unfortunately, a lot of people do not plan for those things that can happen in the future.
Yeah. So Larry's asking, can I get it and just not take it as income and leave it as a line of credit, but in a reverse mortgage form? And the answer is absolutely yes, right?
It is, and it's one better than that. If you take out, let's say you take out a $200,000 line of credit and you don't need it, because you're not using it, you're rewarded by not using it, and about 6 or 7% of that gets added on that you get more money to use the next year and the year after that and so on. So if you got a $200,000 line of credit, next year it's going to be somewhere around a $212,000 line of credit and then $224,000 and so on. So more money is available as you need it in the future.
Larry, is that helpful?
God bless. Take care.
All right. Thanks for being a faithful listener and caller to the program. We appreciate it, sir. We're talking with Harlan Akala today. Our topic is reverse mortgages, perhaps a misunderstood financial planning tool. We love the idea of getting out of debt. I think God's word affirms that. But I think often in this season of life, we miss this massive equity that can, for certain people who are ill prepared for this season, be a real blessing. We're talking about that today and taking your questions at 800-525-7000. We'll be right back. Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance Live. You know, here on this program, we talk a lot about being debt-free, about paying off everything as you're entering retirement to keep your expenses low. And while that is a great strategy for so many folks, there is a tool that involves you tapping into your home equity in that season of life that can make sense from a planning standpoint. It can, for many folks who are ill-prepared for retirement, provide a needed source of cash flow. It can even be used as a tool to keep Medicare premiums low. These are missing tools or missing elements of what folks have not understood about reverse mortgages in the past. Today, joining us to tell us about that is Harlan Akala. He's with Movement Mortgage. And having non-recourse debt, meaning you're not personally liable for it apart from the value of the home, could provide a needed stream of income for those folks in that season of life and others, including some that may choose, Harlan, and I'd love for you to speak to this, to actually pull a reverse mortgage and in doing so, not create additional taxable income, let's say from an IRA, or perhaps letting their Social Security continue to grow, because of course the income coming from a reverse mortgage is not taxable, right?
Well, that's exactly right. And I think we have to look at stewardship. We're careful how we manage IRA money. We're careful about when we decide to draw Social Security and when we're going to quit our jobs and all of those things. We need to look at our housing wealth really the same way. How should it be managed? And if we pull money from our house that is tax-free, instead of taking money from our IRAs, or maybe we want to quit work early and be doing volunteer work or helping our children or grandchildren or whatever it is, we just want to have wisdom in how we're using that housing wealth, because sometimes it's even more than what our IRA is. I just talked to somebody yesterday in California, and their house is worth $1.2 million. They only had $300,000 in their IRAs, and they were worried about running out of money, and they really didn't need to because there was more than enough home equity to get them through that process.
Yeah. Well, and in California and Florida, obviously, homeowners insurance is through the roof right now, right?
Well, the thing is that most people don't realize that even when you own a home free and clear, many people say, so I won't have to worry about any housing payment. Well, if your house is paid off, you still have HOA in some cases, and in all cases, real estate taxes. And there's a lot of costs that go into it. Some people take out a reverse mortgage just so they can live free, and we pay their utilities, and we pay their taxes and their HOA and rising insurance costs, all paid for with the equity that's sitting in their house. And yeah. So now they can use their other money for the things that they really want to enjoy.
Yeah. Now, obviously, there's a cost to everything, Harlan. So let's talk about that, both the interest rate and the fees.
Yeah. So the interest rate is controlled, the market rate. It's 250 basis points over the CMT. But if you know what the 30-year mortgage rate is, between 6% and 7%, that's pretty much where we're at. Whether the rates are low or high, that's a more publicized rate than what we do. There's only one difference in closing costs, and that's a 2% fee that is given to FHA as insurance to guarantee that you'll never be upside down, you'll never have to make a payment no matter how long you live or your spouse lives. So that in one sense is expensive, more expensive than a regular mortgage, but in the whole scheme of things, you're just giving up a little bit of equity. It's not a check that you write. It's not money taken from your brokerage account. It's just subtracted from your equity. And quite frankly, most people's home probably fluctuates by more than 2% every few months anyway. So it's not a real check that needs to be written or a decrease of the money that you have in your brokerage account. And well worth it, because it's guaranteeing no payment and guaranteeing that that income will always be there when you might need it in the future.
Yeah, very good. Let's head to the phones here. All the lines full. We'll get to as many questions as we can today. To Sugar Grove, Illinois. Hi, Doug. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to – I was under the understanding that you had to have 50% equity in your home before you could even take a reverse mortgage.
Yeah, good question. Harlan?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. It depends on your age, but – you will have to, if you're under under 70 years old, you're always going to have at least 50% equity in your home, which a majority of people do in retirement, but some don't. You can always pay it down if you have some money in other places. Let's say you're $10,000 short. You could pull that money out to avoid paying back $150,000 or $200,000. But yes, we make it available between 35% and 70%, depending upon your age. And most loans are in the usually the 40 to 50% range, exactly what you mentioned.
Very good. Thank you for that question, Doug. We'll be getting to some more questions here in just a moment. Harlan, I know you mentioned to me before that you personally have a reverse mortgage. And because, you know, of the situation, you're actually seeing more appreciation on the house than you, you know, are in terms of what you're paying, right?
Well, yes. The thing is everybody thinks, well, if I do a reverse mortgage, I'm going to lose equity because it's a negative amortizing loan and I don't make payments every month like I did with my regular mortgage where it decreased the balance. But especially in the last few years, the value of my home went up more than what my balance went up. So I'm still ahead of the game. And that's something that's happened to most people that have a reverse mortgage. Their balance did not go up as much as the increase in their values. And you know, that's something that even if it did, if the value of the house went down, I still don't have to worry about making a payment. It's not that I have to worry that, oh boy, now I'm going to have to start making payments because the house value went down. But over a period of 100 years, we know that house values go up by about 4%. And even if you have a 7% rate on something that's half the loan, it's still going to go up every month that goes by.
Yeah, very good. Well, we've got a bunch of questions coming up here. Pam, Elka, Sherilyn, we're coming your way right after the break. We've got two lines open at 800-525-7000. With me today, my friend Harlan Akala. He's with Movement Mortgage. If you want to learn more, you can go to movement.com/faith. Movement is an underwriter of this program. Again, movement.com/faith. When we come back, more of your questions. We'll also dive in a bit more into some of the specifics related to the senior season of life. We'll be right back. Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance Live. I'm Rob West. With me today, Harlan Akala, Movement Mortgage. We're talking about reverse mortgages, perhaps a misunderstood planning tool in the senior season of life. You know, as we think about how we manage the assets that we have, we think about how to manage the IRA and we think about how to manage other assets, but often we fail to see the equity in our home as an asset to be considered. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the idea of being out of debt, completely unencumbered, free to follow the leading of the Lord. There are clear warnings in Scripture around the use of debt, so we need to heed that. And if your conviction is to get out of debt and stay there, by all means, do it. But I think there is an opportunity to perhaps see the equity in your home through a reverse mortgage as at least one of those tools as a part of a comprehensive financial plan, where if you understand how to use it, it can be a viable solution, especially if you don't want to draw from those other assets. You don't have the assets saved for retirement. So you're living on a very small fixed income and perhaps missing out on some of those things, just covering basic bills or being able to enjoy a trip or spend time with family every now and then. And the nice part about reverse mortgages is that you're not personally guaranteeing it. The government is. So the only thing that will ever be there to satisfy it is the home. Now, when the home is sold, either at your death or when you move, it will have to be paid back with interest. And there's fees on top of that, which Harlan mentioned a moment ago. But again, an often ill-considered planning tool in this season of life. And we're talking about that today with our reverse mortgage expert, Harlan Akala. Let's go back to the phones to Florida. Hi, Lorraine. Go right ahead.
Hi. Good evening. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for your call. Go ahead.
Sir, when you started, I did not hear when you were explaining what a reverse mortgage is. You also, if you don't mind, could you repeat that for me? You were also talking about a line of credit with the reverse mortgage. If you don't mind, could you please explain that for me, sir?
Oh, absolutely. Harlan, let's go back to kind of the basics here. What is a reverse mortgage and in what forms can it come to you?
Well, yes, there's a lot of people think a reverse mortgage is just a way to get a monthly check or a lump sum. And in fact, that's something that is used less often than the line of credit. So let's say that you have a house that's worth
$500,000, just to pick a number, and you're eligible at your age for $200,000. You can take the $200,000 out in a lump sum to pay for an existing mortgage or to help your children buy a house or do whatever you want with that that fits into your plan. Or what's more likely, if you have your house paid off, you'd set up a line of credit. And that line of credit would be available to use whenever you needed it, even if you let it ride and increase for a long period of time. It's just money that's sitting there that is, it creates liquidity for part of the money in your house. Because when you think about it, $500,000 house, you can't get at any of that. But we just allow you to have that in the line of credit. Some people just want to, they're very specific in what their budget is, and they just want, let's say, $750 a month for life, or they want $1,250 every month until they draw Social Security at 70. So you have three different ways to get the money: lump sum, a monthly check, or a line of credit, or a combination of all three, depending upon what your plans are. And some people say, well, what's the best way to do it? It all depends on what you want to accomplish. And some people maybe take $50,000 to pay off an existing mortgage, and then another $500 a month for take care of utilities. And then they'd leave the rest in the line of credit to maybe use for vacation or some planned giving or to help the children or whatever the situation is. Great question, because a lot of people just don't understand what that tool is. And you take money out of your house just like you take money out of your IRA. There's just a certain amount that is set there to be able to use.
Yeah, but the big difference there, Harlan, between a reverse mortgage and a conventional mortgage is a conventional mortgage, no matter how you take it, you're going to have a payment. With a reverse mortgage, you never have a payment, right?
That's so important to understand. Most people just don't realize. I just talked to somebody this morning, and they said, well, am I going to be able to get any money out? And I said, no, you'll have just enough to pay your existing mortgage off. And they said, well, we wanted to get money out. I said, think about it. You have a $2,000 a month payment. That puts an extra $24,000 a year in a cash flow. So many people forget about the value of having a zero payment. That's why you want to pay the house off in the first place, because you want a zero payment. Well, when we pay it off with the reverse mortgage, you have a zero payment. You still have a mortgage, but the payment is always zero because the interest is deferred until the end.
Yeah, very good. Thanks for that question, Lorraine. Pam is in Mount Prospect, Illinois. Go ahead.
Hi there. I have a question, and it is around... My mom is 89. She is getting probably less than a year left of her funds to live on. So the reverse mortgage was like how I was going to keep her in her condo. That was my plan. However, when I contacted the mortgage people, they asked for some kind of certificate or something from the condo association, and then came back to me and said that, oh, because the residents have signed a petition or signed something, this letter or certificate saying that no renters can ever be in this building. The units are all owner-occupied, that they said HUD would not ever approve a reverse mortgage. So now I'm kind of like, ah, that was my go-to, and now what?
Yeah, interesting. Harlan?
Yeah, the condos can be tricky, but I would not automatically assume that, because some condos that are not approved can get approved, and sometimes the boards are willing to change something and we've had that happen many times with condos to make sure that it fits, because especially if there's any number of seniors there, it's something that a lot of members want to understand. In fact, I've given talks and presentations to condo boards so that they understood the value of what it was to their residents. So the first thing we should find out, and just contact us offline, but the first thing we should find out if indeed it really cannot be approved, and exactly what it does say, and then whether or not we can get any changes that would fall into FHA's requirements. And often it's not that hard to get it changed.
Very good. Pam, just go to movement.com/faith and you can learn more. Elka in Florida, what is your question today? Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. I think the previous two callers pretty much answered most of my questions. However, additional question is this, that I have a property. It's all paid for. It's worth maybe $750. However, it is an older property. It's two buildings and a lot and a half. So I've debated about selling it because the constant need of repairs is really just starting to, put me in the hole. and financially. And so I'm debating about my options, and I'd rather not sell the property if possible. But I also did not know whether I can continue, if I did a reverse mortgage, if I can continue renting the front house and the top house, the top part of the second house, where I'm actually living on the bottom, and continue to collect that rent because it is half of my retirement income.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah,
Elko, we've got to take a quick break here. So we're going to ask you to hold, and we'll get Harlan to weigh in on that just around the corner. I think the key will be, kind of as you described the property, it's more than just your principal residence. So we'll get Harlan to tell us how that factors into whether or not a reverse mortgage is applicable here. Cheryl Lynn coming your way as well just after the break. We've got room for one or two more questions, 800-525-7000. Harlan Akala with us today. He's the author of Home Equity and Reverse Mortgages, the Cinderella of the Baby Boomer Retirement. This is Faith and Finance Live on Moody Radio. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stick around. So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance Live. Hey, we'd love for you to become a ministry partner of ours here at FaithFi. As a listener-supported ministry, we can only bring you this broadcast and all of the other FaithFi resources each day because of your generous support. So if you'd consider a gift, we'd certainly be grateful. Just head to faithfi.com/give. That's faithfi.com/give, or click the button that says give when you head to faithfi.com. We're talking today about reverse mortgages. My friend Harlan Ackle is here today. Harlan is with Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. If you want to learn more, just head to movement.com/faith. Let's head back to the phones. Before the break, we were talking to Elka in Florida. She's wondering about a reverse mortgage in her situation. And Harlan, did you understand exactly what was going on with her property, or did you need to ask some follow-up questions there?
No, that makes a lot of sense. We can do rental properties as long as part of the property is owner-occupied. I did one, a four-unit for a pastor who moved to be by his grandkids, and he lives in one and rents out the other three, and it's dramatically changed his retirement because a lot of pastors don't have a lot of big retirement accounts. And so it was an ideal situation for him. And so, you know, what you really want to think about, Elka, is where do you want to live? And if you want to live there, there's a lot of money sitting in your house to take care of repairs and to keep you in your home. And so it's not always best to sell. But if you want to sell and go move to a place that's smaller or a place that's easier to take care of, you can also use a reverse mortgage to purchase your next home and not have to pay cash for it so that you've got extra money to live on. So the answer is probably yes. Need to know a few more details, but we'd be happy to handle that after the show.
Yeah, very good. Elka, thank you for your call today. To Wesley Chapel, Florida. Hi, Cheryl Lynn. Go ahead.
Hi. I think my question is the same thing. I have a duplex. I live in one side and rent the other. It's one mortgage. Can I get a reverse mortgage for it?
Yes, we've done many of those, and that is a wonderful way because your payment is zero and your rent is the income that comes in, and you can still do some things with tax write-offs and so on. A very wise thing to do from a stewardship standpoint in retirement.
Yeah, very good. Appreciate that call, Cheryl Lynn. Thanks for checking with us today. Let's go to Crown Point, Indiana. Jenny, you'll be next on the program. Go right ahead.
Yes, I just had a question, and then I'll hang up. But then my question is a reverse mortgage something that you can do if you are already collecting Social Security as your primary income?
Yeah, and go ahead, Marlon. Thank you.
Yes, the important thing, Jenny, is to realize that you need to look at a house like any other asset. You look at Social Security and decide when to take it. You can take it starting at 62, or you can wait until 70. You look at your IRAs. You can start taking them out at 59 and a half, but you have to take them out at 72. Then you should look at your house and say, well, I can get a reverse mortgage and make some money available when I'm 62. There is no qualification as far as high income. You just have to have enough money to prove that you can afford to pay taxes and insurance and maintain your home. So you could be making thousands of dollars a month and still qualify for a reverse mortgage. There's no specific requirement, and you're welcome to, in fact, you probably should use both reverse mortgages and IRAs and the Social Security, because the more options you have, the less likely that you're ever going to run out of money. And quite frankly, the more you can give. We talked a little bit about giving earlier, and it's a little bit easier when you have a little bit of extra money as well.
Yeah, very good. Harlan, describe the typical person that you work with that gets a reverse mortgage. I mean, what is the most common scenario where you feel like this is the best fit?
Probably the most common person is someone that has a somewhere under $1 million in retirement accounts. It might be $50,000. It might be $750,000, but they are still making a mortgage payment. And that is by far where we can do the most, give the most help and create the most opportunity by eliminating that mortgage payment. Maybe they just refinanced a few years ago at 3%, but they have a payment until they're 95. So without question, anybody that's still making a mortgage payment, I wrote in my book, that's kind of funny. I was snoring one night several years ago and my wife elbowed me and I woke up in the middle of the night and I said, over 62, 50% equity, still making a mortgage payment. And she said, oh my goodness, you're sick. That's all you think about is reverse mortgages. Well, that's top of mind for me. Anyone that is still making a mortgage payment past 62 that has more than enough equity, why are you continuing to send money to some place that you don't have to? Because the borrower is the servant to the lender. But if you have a reverse mortgage and the servitude is zero, it changes everything. And that is the people that should really look at things first is, should I continue to make that payment? Are there better places to put my money for fun things, for Christian endeavors, for your children? Where could that money go instead of just going into the house where you cannot use it until after you're gone?
Yeah. Play that out for a second, and then we'll go to talk to Joanne. She's got a testimony on her own reverse mortgage, but play that out for a second. So you have a mortgage, in your case, something less than $1 million left on that mortgage. You're banking that monthly mortgage payment in your retirement season of life, and all you do is have that paid off. What happens then, and then how does that balance grow, and how is it ultimately satisfied?
Yes. So I get a statement every month that says this is not a bill. So I know exactly how much I owe, and it shows how much interest has accrued last month. And then I can make a decision. I can send in that interest, and then my balance never goes up. But usually I don't make any payment unless I need a tax benefit. And so I just let that balance grow and then use that money somewhere else. Either I take less money out of investments, or I can give more, or I can help my children, or whatever the situation is. If I don't make any payment, it keeps getting bigger because I have more cash now, but then I'm trading it for equity. And at the end, let's say that I started out at $200,000 and now I owe $500,000 because I've never made payments for 20 years. Well, maybe my house went up to $700,000. But if it didn't, either way, the house is going to satisfy that. Whatever money is left over, which there probably will go to my children. And if there isn't any money left over and house prices have dropped precipitously and we're in a real estate crash, there is no obligation for my children or myself, if I'm still alive, to pay that mortgage back. So yeah. I'm guaranteed not to lose.
Yeah, very good. That's helpful. Joanne, I understand you have a testimony. Tell us what your experience has been.
Yes. The last time Harlan was on your program, I was listening and I had been praying, Lord, what's our next step financially? And so when he explained the reverse mortgage, I called and I got this wonderful guy. I got to give a shout out to George Burban. And he walked us through very patiently, probably 3-hour phone conversations. And then you have a counseling appointment. By the time you actually have made a decision that this is what the Lord has for you or what you desire to do, you're pretty well informed. And so I just thought people need to research it. And I wanted to just give a great testimony for this. We did take out the reverse mortgage. We're going to be using it for long-term health care, for generosity. God should call us to give some of the equity away. That's exciting to me, that I can use this pot to grow the kingdom while I'm alive. So anyway, wow. I thought it worth telling you.
I appreciate you calling, Joanne. Thank you for sharing your story. Harlan, any thoughts on that?
Well, Joanne, thank you so much. George told me, I remember your name now, and he said that you were one of the brightest spots in his day when he got to talk to you. And I'm just thankful that we were able to help and God put us into position to be able to be a benefit to you. And who knows what all of that will do for the kingdom down the road. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, we appreciate it very much. Thanks for being on the program today. Let's finish up quickly in Florida. Hi, Gus. I've just got a couple of minutes left. Go ahead.
Okay. First question is, I run Airbnb out of the house, and I would like to know if that's not a problem to keep going doing Airbnb on the house. It's a one-family house, but it's a big for us, so we are doing that, and we are, beside that, we have a friend that is renting a room and live with us. That's my first question.
Yeah, that's all we're going to have time for, unfortunately, today, Gus. Harlan, your thoughts?
Yes, it depends. It's always got to be owner-occupied, but what you explained is very similar to what my sister does with her house in Michigan, and I think you'd probably be fine.
Yeah, okay, but, very good. Gus, certainly it'd be
a few more questions.
It'd be worth checking out and exploring it a bit further. Thank you for your call. I apologize we didn't have more time. Harlan, that's going to do it for us today. So thankful for you and just your educational approach. I mean, you lead with your heart for God's people and just wanting to equip folks to just understand how this planning tool can be misunderstood, where it can be really helpful. And we're always grateful for our time with you. Thanks for stopping by today.
Well, thank you. I sure appreciate the opportunity to be of help to others.
All right. That's Harlan Akala. He's with Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. You can learn more at movement.com/faith. Folks, we're so thankful to have you with us each day. It's always a joy to be able to spend a few moments with you just to talk about the resources God has entrusted to us, look to the scriptures and see how we can apply principles we see in God's word so we can be that wise and faithful steward. We always enjoy your questions and your testimonies as well. By the way, if you need to find an advisor who understands your values and can help you look at your holistic financial situation, we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. You can find somebody in your area at faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional. Hey, let me say thanks to my team today, Dan, Gabby T, Anthony, and Jim. Couldn't do it without them. Also grateful for Harlan Akala's time today as well. Have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.